At 7:30 this morning, several dozen people attended an election forum at the Sentinel Hotel in southwest Portland. The forum was put on by the Coalition of Communities of Color and moderated by their advocacy director, Jenny Lee. She asked questions of Street Roots managing editor Joanne Zuhl and Carlos Covarrubias with El Hispanic News. The forum was pitched as an opportunity to hear about the many ballot measures on this year's ballot from journalists representing marginalized communities. Two topics that ran through the whole discussion were changes in voter turnout and the involvement of out-of-state interests in Oregon politics. The forum was also a counterpoint to another forum, also held today in the Sentinel Hotel, but hosted by the Portland Business Association. The unrepresentative and inaccessible nature of the PBA was a topic that came up later in the forum. Here, Covarrubias details their pricing structure for membership.
Nonprofit membership dues, $345 annually. The solo entrepreneurs, $480 annually. Small business, $885. It didn't really give parameters as to what, you know, how they were defining each of these, but it just kind of grows and grows and grows. You know, the director membership, $2,870. Medallion membership, whatever that means, $16,565. The highest membership level is the trustee level of $52,390. Now that just seems, it seems like a lot of money. And I, you know, kind of looking at their, organizational chart, it seemed very reflective of, you know, who's paying the most money to be involved in what's essentially just the lobbyist group.
Street Roots' Joanne Zuhl explained the problem with a small percentage of business interests, and especially national and even global companies, putting so much of their money into Oregon politics.
I guess it's just this ongoing political extension of globalism where, you know, what Oregonians have to say and how we want to be governed and how we want our money used and the people we want to take care of and how we want to see our future and protect our hills and our children. Is being decided by federal organizations, corporations, global corporations, with interests that have not, I don't think, is taking care of Oregon or any of our citizens.
On the subject of voter turnout, Zuhl reminded attendees that Portland is a blue island in a red state, and there is much on the ballot to energize voters across the political spectrum. Aside from the right-wing-driven measures to repeal the sanctuary law and restrict abortion access, there are also measures like 102, a funding measure for affordable housing statewide, that have surprisingly broad support. Here, Zuhl references a recent Street Roots series on the statewide housing shortage.
We're a little island in a big state that has a lot of red in it, so there's a lot of, you know, different issues. We did a rural housing project recently. We're actually still working on it. To look at rural issues, rural housing issues, and concerns in these smaller communities, recognizing that they're far different from a place like Portland that has a lot of resources, that has more diversity than, say, compared to Burns, that we have a different perspective here and there are, in the communities that we swim in, than a lot of these rural communities where they're really struggling, where they don't have these resources, they don't have these options and these choices, and I think that's where a whole different viewpoint comes from.
Covarrubias gave his perspective on Latinx voter turnout, galvanized not just by Measure 105, but also by generational and demographic factors.
Carlos, how are things looking on your end?
You know, I feel that there's a kind of resurgence in activism and kind of the younger Latino community, even within those communities that aren't documented. DACA recipients have been particularly vocal in the last few years, just about getting involved, about, you know, trying to support their peers who can vote, who, you know, to vote, and to generally kind of what we refer to in the Hispanic community as wake the sleeping giant. You know, there's kind of this, it's been known for a long time that the Hispanic community is a large community in the United States overall, and there's a large voter base there. However, you know, I think because there's kind of a lot of ideas, there's kind of this consensus among usually first generation immigrants who kind of have this idea that maybe they'll just come to the United States and go back to Mexico or Central America and kind of, you know, bring whatever wealth they accumulated back to those parts of the world. that they don't want to engage in politics here, but their children, the younger generations realize that this is home, so that they really need to fight their battles here and not, kind of have this idea of, this kind of grand idea that, everything is just going to return to normal and they're going to go back to the old country, because that's just not how it works anymore. People, our younger generations want to stay here, they want to engage, they want to make space for themselves. And so I think, there's, can anticipate, a good turnout from the younger Latino voters this election cycle.
Exciting to hear. So.
The Portland Clean Energy Initiative occupied the last section of the forum. This is a measure on the ballot opposed by many business interests, which taxes large corporations based on their environmental impact to fund job training for marginalized communities in the city. Here's Covarrubias.
No, I think I like the initiative both on a micro scale and on a macro scale. I think that, as I said before, it's very important for local municipalities to be able to take control of of what's going on in their communities. This is a Portland initiative. This isn't a statewide initiative. It's just Portland, and I think it is reflective of the values that Portland has, encompassed over the years of, inclusivity and also of, green values and trying to create, a future for our children. Essentially, people of color historically have not always had access to clean energy jobs, and I like the idea of this grant fund being created to provide training and also just awareness of the impact of climate change on communities of color, low-income communities, because I think that is where the future is, and I think that that is where the future of essentially the world is. And so to make sure that we are channeling communities of color, vulnerable communities, into a growing industry like green energy is absolutely the smart thing to do.
Tune in to the KBOO Evening News tomorrow night at 5:45 for an in-depth live interview about the Clean Energy Initiative with some of the measure's backers. For KBOO Evening News, I'm Sam Bowman.